This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Four teams remain in the NFL playoffs, and that means only four teams left for you to bet on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Good morning. Welcome into another Monday edition of The Blitz, starting your week off right here from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. It's Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, and GP3 with you for the next couple of hours. We're up over at fanrunradio.com. You can click that link at the top, powered by our friends over at MyBookie. We also have the Periscope up and running. If you want to follow along there, see our smiling faces. That's at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter and Facebook Live. And we have the free Fan Run Radio app. If you need to download that, get all of the local programming here at Fox Sports Knoxville right in the palm of your hands on the go. Wherever apps are sold for you, and don't forget, always Terrestrial Radio, FM 105.7 AM 1340. Thank you for tuning in. Back from the weekend, a wild weekend of sports. We have a lot to get to. The menu is full, and I cannot wait to break it all down today. But before we get into it, got to go around the room, see how my guys are doing. GP3, how are you, sir? Happy Monday.
Hey, I'm not doing too bad.
I'm not too bad. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, if the Titans would have played on Sunday, I'd probably still be feeling it a little more.
Yeah. I feel the same way.
But since we played Saturday and then got two really good games on Sunday as well, I'm all right. I had time to think, collect my thoughts. Hey, time moves on. Life moves on.
Time marches on. Time marches on. Tracy Lawrence.
I get pretty heated in the moment when I'm watching my teams play.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, I come to find out like it's better if you don't put all your happiness into sports.
I know, and we talked about that last week, Charlie. We'll get to him. I know Charlie's pretty upset from the weekend, but you know, he kind of loser mentality. But I'm the same way, man. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. About to be 38 this year, also settling down. Everyone knows, having the kid, getting married. I don't know if it's I've just stopped, kind of like you say, putting all my eggs in a basket when it comes to sports and really just getting down. So I used to be like the same way, beat myself up. Florida State loses when they were like, you know, especially at the top, you know, while Jimbo was there towards the end, and you know, going to the college football playoff when, you know, after they won their title, you know, expectations were high. I used to beat myself up over after every game. I'm talking about being pissed off. Like, don't want to talk to anybody. Used to get that way with the Packers. No, all my sports teams. And I've kind of – I really did step back one day. I was like, man, I can't do anything about these outcomes. Like, I could just root my team on. Like, I could be pissed off. But what we're going to do as fans, our teams lose, we're still going to root for them the next year. Yep. We're still going to put, you know, all our faith back into our teams. But at that moment – and I'm with you. If the game would have been Sunday for the Pack – I think I'd be a little bit more still perturbed today.
Yeah, like if I was a Bills fan, yeah. I don't know if I'd have come in.
Yeah, that was rough, man. That was rough for them. But we'll break all that down. But I kind of feel the same way, too, after the Packers lost. Sitting there watching the game with my fiance, and I've told you guys I tend to watch my teams by myself, so I don't hear a lot of hoopla from the bar. Nobody can,
nobody can
mess with me and you know, poke at me about my team losing, and I can sit there and be in my own confines. And after that block punt, and then you know, they go down, kick the field goal, Robbie Gould. I got up after a couple, you know, bleeps, you know, hard Fs, and then I was like. Nothing I can do. Like, and I kind of expect, you know, on Friday, you guys said, are you setting yourself for it? I said, kind of. Like, I think it's going to be a tough game. Aaron Rodgers has struggled with the 49ers, but we'll get all that. Charlie, how are you doing? Not well. You came in very quiet.
I'm alive.
Oh, yes.
Well, it's just about it, really.
We're thankful for that.
Shout out to Tennessee basketball for that.
Yeah, yeah. You don't feel so much dead inside since
Pretty much dead inside.
Were the nachos bad Saturday?
Yeah, they were pretty good. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you said if the nachos are bad, then you know the nachos were good.
They were good, so.
Okay, okay. Well, we are here for you. You know, I'm not going to be the person to come in here. I told you, you know, our teams lose. We're not going to rib each other. We didn't.
I would have killed you if you did, so.
I'm not scared of you.
I mean, you shouldn't be.
So like. I wouldn't have cared. But I'm not going to do that in the thing of sportsmanship. I know you feel bad. Everybody feels bad. I'm telling you, all the teams that lost over the weekend, all dramatic, just heartbreaking losses.
Yeah.
If you're crazy. A Packers fan, if you're a Titans fan, if you were a fan of Tom Brady and the Bucks, you thought that here is the great one. He's going to do it again. And then they come up short. And then, most importantly, if you're Bills Mafia, I mean, you look at that game, you think Josh Allen, he's next. He's coming. We know he's coming. He's one of the next stars in this league. He is right now. He's a great quarterback, top five quarterback in the league. And the ups and downs riding the highs and lows of that game were just – I couldn't imagine. Like you say, if you're a Bills fan this morning, we feel for you. Gabriel Davis had a coming out party, didn't he?
Four touchdowns.
Four tutties.
Product of Josh Heupel at UCF.
Yeah. Think about it. You had him on a four-touchdown score. I don't know if they go up to four. I know they go up to three.
I know I think it was BetMGM tweeted out somebody had a ticket for him to score three at plus 8,000.
Wow.
So.
Mm-hmm. So, great game from him. A lot of great action. If you are a football fan, that's sad, but you're a Tennessee basketball fan, then the Vols did lift your spirits up a little bit Saturday night as well, getting a big win versus LSU and just a coming out party for some of those guys too. Urosh, another great game from him from where he's been, how he's come along in the last, you know, 3 to 4 games. So a lot of things to talk to. 865-546-8200 is our number to get on the G3 Help Me hotlines. We're live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios today. Hey, hope you did cheer on the Big Orange or your football team this weekend with some White Claw Hard Seltzer. It's crafted with quality ingredients. White Claw Hard Seltzer is made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, and a hint of fruit flavor. With just 100 calories, you can stick to your diet with this one. Avoid the beer belly bloat. Everybody knows about that one. It only has 1 gram of sugar, but still, 5% alcohol. And now White Claw is available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. As always, please drink responsibly. Support the people that support your friends here at Fan Run Radio. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come back, and we're going to get into all of it. We're going to talk about the game from last night. I think we start there first. Bills Chiefs on the other side. Keep it locked here for more Fan Run Radio and more of the Blitz. NFL fans of teams that lost this weekend, step back from that ledge, my friend. Everything's going to be okay. Next year's going to come. The offseason's going to come. There's going to be hype in the offseason. Maybe some personnel changes. Maybe your team's getting a new coach. Maybe your team's getting a new quarterback. Step back from that ledge. Everything's going to be okay. It's tough around here, though. It's very tough.
Sad times.
It is sad times, man. That's what football does to us. It makes us crazy, to be honest. It really
makes
does.
You question your will to live sometimes.
Easy.
I don't know. I wouldn't take it that far.
You can't make a permanent decision over temporary pain. You can't do that, so let's not do that. Let's not give anybody any ideas out there.
Makes you wonder, what's your purpose? What do I look forward to now?
I do like a more happy
child. Why do I wake up in the morning?
The thing is, I can't even look forward to baseball right now. They might not even have a season this year.
Yeah, with the lockout going on. I said it on Friday. I said, man, for Charlie's health and for his well-being, I hope the Titans win. Also, I want to say you brought a little bit on yourself. I was rooting for your team. At the end of the show, you said, you hope the Packers lose. So I said, I hope the Titans lose.
At least I said I wasn't going to root against the Packers unless the Titans
lost. Try to keep that good karma. Charlie had bad karma. before we get to the Titans game, we're going to talk a lot about the Titans game, I'm sure, today. But, man, I think the most exciting game from the weekend was last night. You guys
that one
agree.
And the Bucs game was good just because of the late comeback effort and then, you know, the throw to Cooper Kupp. But, no, definitely last night's was more exciting.
Last night's game, I was looking at the box score. Looks like it was probably one of the wildest football games ever.
Did you not watch it?
I deleted Twitter and also...
Oh, after the Titans... Oh, you missed a great game!
Dude, yeah. 25 points were scored in the final two minutes of
that game.
Yeah, so I just didn't even... Like, it made me sick to even think about that game. Before the game started, I deleted Twitter and my ESPN app. And then I intentionally went
You are that fan. You're crazy.
I intentionally went to a bar that I knew wouldn't have the game on. And then from there, I took a girl on a date. So I would not even be tempted to look on my
phone. Where'd
you go?
To the Peter Kern Library?
I went to an ice cream shop. And I stayed there until it closed to make sure that I didn't, you know, accidentally overhear anything about the game
God.
Or see anything about
you
it.
You missed likely maybe one of the best playoff games in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, like not even exaggerating.
That's not even an exaggeration.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've heard. Honestly, I don't really care. Like, I just don't have any interest in seeing it. It just makes me sick.
Wow. I guess me and GP will be talking about all the games today. I know you're a fan of football. You got to cheer up, pal.
I mean, I'll watch the Super Bowl probably.
I think this next round's going to.
I'm not going to watch next weekend, I'll be honest.
There's no way next weekend can live up to this weekend.
I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think it can just with how all the games ended this weekend, especially how last night ended. But, all right. So we'll start with Bills Chiefs. Charlie didn't watch any of it, but it was a great game. And then. All of the fireworks, and this is a game, you know, a team scored a touchdown in every quarter.
Yeah.
So, also, why it was great, you had high scoring, and then, as GP3 just said, in the last 2 minutes, you had 25 points scored, or last 4 minutes, however many it was,
25 points
between both teams. I mean, I had we talk about Gabriel Davis, 8 receptions, 201 yards, 4 touchdowns, the UCF product. Josh Allen, I mean, remarkable night. 27 for 37, 329 yards, 4 touchdowns for him, all to Gabriel Davis. Patty Mahomes, 33 of 44, 378, 3 touchdowns. I mean, hell, he had 7 carries for 70 yards and a touchdown. Mecole Hardman was running the ball. They had Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in effect. Tyreek Hill did his thing. He was nasty.
He dropped the deuces on the guy at the 15-yard line with the guy in front of him.
He hit the deuces on a dude when the dude had the angle on him.
At the 15-yard line.
He threw up the deuce to him when the dude had the angle and smoked him. Charlie, like a Philly blunt. He smoked him out there. Tyreek Hill's a madman. Like a Philly blunt, he threw the deuces. There's all kinds of pictures of that everywhere. That was iconic. We were leaving my other job, and like we had to stay because we'd watched most of that game. Then everything that happened in the fourth quarter. I had a friend last night, and I was living vicariously through him. But also, I feel like he's a dumbass for the most part too. He's probably listening today. He made a bad bet, but he made a good bet. All right, so Bills go down. I guess right when the Tyreek Hill touchdown, or before that. And he puts $1,000 on the Bills in the money line because money line values went up.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're all like, you're an idiot. And then, you know, Tyreek Hill scores, and they give him early cash out option. I think it was $600. I was like, take the $600. At least you're only losing $400. He's like, nah, I'm riding. I'm a gambler. Then the Bills score. And everybody, bars going crazy. And we're like, oh, and he's like. Like, you see? He's riding his chassis. I told you. Daddy told you. So he does that. And then now he gets up and, you know, he's like, all right, he has $1,000. I think it was like payout $3,300 or something like that. So the game goes on. You know, Bills, like I said, Bills score. And you think it's over. I mean, you think the game's over. Bills score. What was it, 13 seconds left?
13 seconds left.
So big return, I believe it was.
I thought it was just a touchback.
No, it's just, no, you're right. Touchback and then big pass to get out there.
They were playing like extreme prevent defense.
And so let them get out there, and then they hit a pass, and they're getting field goal range. And then his cash out was $2,600. And we're like, man, take it. No, I'm not. I'm going to ride with it. And then you know what happened next. They kick a field goal. We go into overtime. And I still think they gave him a cash out option of $1,900 at the start of overtime.
As soon as they lost the toss, I'm cashing out because you knew whatever team.
And that's what I said cash it out. And they get dropped down to 1,600 or so. But he had an option in overtime to get 1,900 as well. But, yeah, man, living up and downs through him. I mean, we're watching that game. Everybody's living the up and down. It was just a wild finish. And we're going to have – every time these things happen, we have a very exciting game. It goes to overtime on a coin flip. Now we're going to have – should we change the overtime rules once again?
If it's ever going to happen, this would be the game to decide.
I mean, I feel like they changed it years past when we got the rule where if you kick a field goal, other team gets scored. That was for Aaron Rodgers. It was a playoff game, and Aaron Rodgers didn't even get to touch the ball. There was a lot of controversy there.
Like, well, I saw a bunch of Chiefs fans and like people on Twitter just saying,
oh. And Mahomes. Mahomes had that same thing happen to him where he didn't get to touch the ball in an overtime game.
Well, I just saw a bunch of people talking about how if you don't like the overtime rules, don't let them score. But I was like, the fact is, like, this happened to the Chiefs when they played Tom Brady, what, three years ago?
Uh-huh.
And the Chiefs proposed a rule to change overtime, and they said no. The league did.
Mm-hmm.
Because Patrick Mahomes didn't even get to touch the ball. Same thing happened in the Super Bowl, the iconic 28-3 comeback. Matt Ryan never got to touch the ball in overtime.
Yep.
Something's got to be done about it. You can't leave it up to a coin flip to decide a game. Both quarterbacks deserve a chance to touch the ball. If the first team goes down and scores a touchdown, the other team should get a shot to score a touchdown.
To score it if they don't score, it's
over. Or just make it another 15-minute period.
Whoever, and just play it out.
Yeah, and whoever wins at the end of the 15 minutes.
I guess the fear there is getting a tie, and then what happens then?
Well, in the regular season, you can leave it as a tie.
Yeah,
in
I know.
Playoffs,
yeah, regular season,
do it like hockey does in the playoffs. It just goes until somebody wins.
Yeah. That's true. Football, I would say people would say, well, football's different because they can't just keep going wear and tear on their body. But they might do something. I mean, this is going to raise a lot of eyebrows. Here we are talking about the overtime rules again. But, I mean, it's just a great game. I mean, 25 points in the final, 1 minute and 54 seconds, 4 lead changes in that time span. A 44-yard drive and a 49-yard field goal all in 13 seconds. All in 13 seconds to send the game to overtime. A combined 7 passing touchdowns and more than 700 yards of offense with no interceptions good. That's how great this game was last night. That is great.
I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't. Like, no. It didn't make sense watching it.
Like, imagine my surprise last night.
Yeah.
When I got in the bed.
And you see the box.
And
score.
I was just like, all right, time to put Twitter back on my phone. Time to put ESPN back on my phone. And you know what? I'll take a look at the box score. Or I'll take a look at the final score, and then I was just like, oh, okay, overtime, that's pretty neat. Good for them. Open up the box score and scroll down to the scoring summary. And I was like, this doesn't make sense. I had to go knock on my roommate's door and see if he was still awake to be like, hey, did this actually happen, or is this a glitch in my app?
Yeah, like, what happened? Yeah, 4 lead changes in that final span. It was crazy, man. It was the Bills-Chiefs contest was the first playoff game in NF history. It was the first playoff game in NFL history with 3 go-ahead touchdowns scored in the final 2 minutes. It's never happened before, according to NFL research.
And Gabriel Davis is the first player ever to score 4 touchdowns in a postseason game.
He had, what, like 200 and something yards, too?
201, I think.
That's absurd. What a weird thing to happen.
Out of all the players, like, not Stephon Diggs. Like, all
things considered. I saw him light that dude up that's...
He had a mild game. Like,
I saw him light that dude up that ran on the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe they should have put him on defense, apparently. It looked like their defense couldn't do much tackling.
Neither defense really could.
Josh
Allen made some crazy plays, too.
I mean, he did.
Even before the 2 minutes. Like, when, like, you're talking about, like, 6 minutes left to go in the game, and they're trailing, and he's driving down the field, and they converted, like, 2 or 3 fourth downs. And, I mean, he was just running backwards, like running for his life and made people miss, made 2 Chiefs defenders run into each other, lower the shoulder and take on a linebacker. You just don't see quarterbacks do that.
Uh-uh.
And, like, I feel awful for the guy because, like, he didn't even get a chance to help his team win in overtime. And, I mean, we know Patrick Mahomes is great, but Josh Allen's great too. And it's just as good as that game was. It just leaves a sour taste in my mouth because we didn't get to see Josh Allen in overtime.
We didn't. You get the 2 passes to lead into overtime. It was 19 yard to Tyreek Hill, and then another 25-yard catch to Travis Kelce. That's up to Harrison Butker. Game time, 49-yard field goal. And then Mahomes throws an 8-yard touchdown pass for the first on the first possession of overtime to win the game. I mean, after the the big return, I mean, what more, man, can you ask for? Like, really, what more can you ask for? This was the game that, hell, if your team lost on Saturday or lost, if you were rooting for the Bucks before this game last night, it probably did take away a little of the pain, as GP3 said. Simply, you feel a lot of heartache for the Bills fans, but also it was such a great game that it probably distracted you from your team losing a little bit. I know it did me. Like, that game capped off the weekend of great divisional playoff games. All the games were good. Now, depending on who you're rooting for, you may not think the same, but all the games were great, and that just capped off a great weekend. I don't know if we'll see another game that'll live up to that, as GP3 said. I hope so, because we got the championship round this weekend, then we have the Super Bowl, so I hope that the rest of the games live up to the hype and they can be just as entertaining, but I don't think that we will. I mean, this was something that was historical, and it was just, like Charlie said, it didn't make sense for it to be happening, but for those watching, we thought the same thing. Like, what is going on here? Like, this game is crazy.
So, I mean, it was the eight best teams.
It was.
This year, we knew it was the eight best teams going in. And, you know, in a year where there weren't really teams that were dominant necessarily, obviously you had some teams that were really good. But, you know, there wasn't really that dominant team that you have most years. So with all of that, it was the perfect environment for the Shield to absolutely deliver. Did you see the video of Mahomes' girlfriend just popping champagne, spraying it out of the box just onto the crowd?
Oh, really? Of course she was.
Yeah, of course.
Is that his wife now?
Yeah, she's just as annoying as Jackson.
She's the worst. She's the second worst person in Kansas City, only because Jackson's there, too.
Oh,
he needs to pull the Rodgers, man. His family sucks.
She did. Who does she think she is? Queen Elizabeth showering them with?
Yeah, like they're just like hey.
It's
kind of cold. Like, I don't really want to be sticky.
Yeah. I'm drinking any. I can't get any in my mouth. I'm just getting spritzed with champagne.
Yeah, it's not like
we throw a bottle down here of that expensive champagne. Let us drink some. If you want to do something, Brittany. Oh, man, the Bengals do need to win next week so we don't see Brittany Mahomes spraying champagne anymore. She did. I'm pulling up the video now. She does. She is so happy spraying that champagne. Well, sorry, Bills fans and the rest of us. We'll get into the rest of the games here on the other side. But, yeah, man, that game took all of our energy. I was completely exhausted after watching that game last night and exhausted from football, which is a good feeling. When you're exhausted from the sports. Great game. 865-546-8200. 546-8300. That's our number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. Again, G3HelpMe.com. On the other side, we'll continue to talk about the NFL divisional round playoffs. We'll get into the Vols basketball throughout the show, so keep it locked here. We will talk Tennessee beating up on LSU inside Thompson Bowling Arena. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz and more Fan Run Radio. Welcome back into the Blitz. Rolling along here on your Monday, back from the weekend, wild weekend of the NFL. The Shield, man, they always deliver. That's one thing. Sometimes we can be very irritated with college football and the lackluster and how the dominant team might blow out the other team. You know, watching that for years and years, no parity. We're starting to see some parity in college football, but...
Well, I don't know if we're... Well, in college football, I thought you were saying the NFL.
No, we're starting to see some in college football.
I was going
to
say, in the NFL, I don't know if we're seeing parity or if we're just seeing the changing of the guard.
Nah, just kind of changing the guard. I wouldn't say parity. It always delivers over college football, just the excitement.
Yeah, no, that's true. Although the wild card weekend games kind of sucked.
Yeah, but these games were great.
This weekend made up for it.
Yeah, definitely did. All right, so we talked about, you know, the Chiefs and the Bills. Where do you guys want to go next? Do we want to go ahead and keep going backwards and go Bucks-Rams now? We'll save the Titans talk for as long as we can. I don't want to rehash old wounds for you guys. So we'll go Bucks-Rams. Another great game. Another great game. At first, it was not shaping up to be a great game. It just looked like, well, the Rams have more talent, as we all thought. The Buccaneers don't have as many weapons. And then the Rams did everything that they could to try to give this game. I'm telling you, I was watching it with some Bucks fans, and I said, literally, they're trying to give you guys the game. And then we have what happens in the fourth quarter with the turnovers, and Tampa Bay is actually able to tie the game up, and here you go.
I mean, how many fumbles did they lose in that game? Because I know they lost the one right there at the end of the half on, like, the one-yard line.
Let me look. Fumbles lost for the Rams, 4.
Yeah, and they lost the one on the one-yard line right before the half ended, which would have put them up 35-3.
And that's the one that probably saved the Bucks to stay in the game. Like, you know, that they blow it wide open if they don't have that fumble there, as you were just saying.
They missed a 45-yard field goal.
And he was short.
And he was short by, like, 5-6 yards.
By a lot.
Are you a Pro Bowl kicker and you don't have the leg to make a 45-yarder?
Ryan, suck up.
No, it was Matt Gay.
Oh yeah, the Rams, Matt Gay. Ryan Suckup's on the Bucks.
But he did miss a chip shot earlier in the game for the Bucks.
He missed one too, but yeah, Matt Gay was short on the 47-yarder. I believe it was 47. Short on it, and everybody's watching like, what? What's going on? So here you are as a fan. If you hate Tom Brady, you're like, oh man, here he goes again. Here goes TB12. He's going to get back.
Luckiest quarterback of all time.
He has all the breaks. All the breaks out there for him, and you're thinking.
He's all the breaks.
Breaks, the breaks, the breaks. So you think that, here we go, Tampa Bay line themselves up to make it back to NFC Championship, likely make it back to the Super Bowl, and then late game heroics. And this is kind of the same, the one gripe if I'm a Bills fan, I mean, what are you doing late on your pass coverage? And especially if I'm a Bucks fan, what the hell are y'all doing with Cooper Kupp? Letting him run wide
right
the bleep
you.
Open.
Yeah, let's blitz the nickel corner and then, you know, have the safety have to pick up
the best
Cooper
receiver
Kupp
in football.
Already full speed. He was flat footed by the I mean, just nothing about it.
There
makes
was nothing
sense.
He could do.
It reminded me of the throw Tannehill threw to AJ Brown a couple years ago when we were playing the Texans to pick up that game-winning field goal, which one is a division. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
Just blew right past the defense. The coverage made no sense. And didn't Stafford throw that off his back foot, too? Like, he wasn't even set.
Yeah, he did. He threw it off his back foot.
Threw it, like, 40 yards in the air off his back foot.
It's one of those things where he probably was like, oh, crap. You know, he's wide open. And trying to get, and obviously, pressure coming at him, too. But, yeah, like, I just didn't understand what the Bucks, like, I know that the Rams should have won that game regardless. I think we all agree there. But it's like, I don't know what the Bucks are doing when you got Cooper Kupp out there, the best receiver in the league. Like, you got to bracket him. You got to have somebody over top, somebody, you know, on the inside. You got to be doubling him. If anything, you want anybody to get the ball besides him with 27 seconds left is what they had. You want anybody to get the ball besides Cooper Kupp. He breaks off he gets open, gets back there behind the defenders.
And he made sure to get in Gay's field goal range.
And he did. He did. He got in field goal range, and the Rams are able to outlast the Bucks in another memorable playoff game. That was actually another game that when I got done watching that, I was like, man, that was fun. I really did. I looked at somebody and said, no, that was fun.
Well, watching Brady lose eased a lot of the pain for me.
Oh, the bar I was at. I'm talking about people went wild whenever the field goal.
I just
knew Brady was losing.
I wouldn't have been able to take it because it was 27-3 at one point. The memes that would have come through on Twitter about Brady coming back from 28-3, 27-3, just. And the thing was, it wasn't anything to do with him either as to why they got in that game. It was the Rams imploding on themselves.
No. I mean,
Cam Akers was a yard away from icing that game and then fumbled.
Yeah, I mean,
and then Matt Stafford fumbled on the first play of that drive too. Yep. I thought he was going to give it right back to the Bucks to kick a game-winning field goal.
Yep, luckily they got it back.
I did watch the last quarter and a half of this one. I did find some enjoyment watching Brady lose because I hate Tom Brady.
Matt Stafford pulled off the 43rd game-winning drive in the fourth quarter overtime of his career, the most of anyone since 2009.
Since
he entered the league.
He, after the game, was even, like, confused why they blitzed him on that play to Cooper Kupp. After the game, he was like, yeah, I mean, I don't understand what their strategy was, but I appreciate it.
Well, Nah, I don't know what they were thinking either. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, the only other team to lose a 24-point lead in a playoff game and still win was the Chargers in 1981. So definitely got a little lucky there for the Rams to able to hold on to that, especially when you think about the luck that Tom Brady has. But, yeah, another great performance. We all said that Matt Stafford, you put him on a good team, you give him some weapons, he can take you places. Rams finally got Jared Goff out the paint. They get Stafford in that trade, and they're, you know, reaping the fruits of their labor. They should be in a prime position. They're going to have a tough game versus the 49ers, but they're the better team.
Yeah.
They are the better team. They got the better offense. Defense, their defense is definitely better than the 49ers, but 49ers have a great D too. But they should go in here and be the heavy favorites for Sunday's matchup. The Rams also became the first team to win a playoff game after losing four or more fumbles since the 1975 Pittsburgh Steelers, who won the AFC Championship game against the Raiders despite four lost fumbles. So, I mean, first of all, they did do a terrible job of executing, but they just got lucky and came away with the win. You got the best receiver in the game. He set you up in a great spot there at the end. 183 receiving yards for Cooper Kupp. 183 receiving yards in a divisional round playoff game. That dude is a beast.
He's no Gabriel Davis.
He ain't no Gabriel Davis. He had 203. I think the most was T.Y. Hilton, I believe, had 224 is what the graphic I saw.
Back with Andrew Luck as his quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Back with Andrew Luck. So another great game. You guys, everybody's pretty happy about this outcome. Nobody wanted to see a Brady Super Bowl again.
No. Because you knew if Brady won that game, he was beating the 49ers.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, so I was thrilled because it meant a Tom Brady-less Super Bowl and no 27-3 memes. Although if you're a Falcons fan, you're probably hoping that it happened, so yeah. Maybe it would take some
You definitely were hoping. I mean, but still, the Falcons did in the Super Bowl. Still going to be some sting there, but definitely hope somebody else joined the club. Tom Brady, after the game, did say it's too soon for him to think about his future.
He's got to retire soon, man. Like,
emotions
he can't keep
from the loss.
If he's not going to go out on top after last year, like, I don't know if he wins another one if he keeps playing. He's going to keep regressing. And I know he didn't really regress this year, but
I think he regressed more than people realize, though.
No, I mean, yeah, sure. But I'm saying, like, he didn't regress like Peyton Manning did in his final couple years. Or, like, Peyton Manning had a huge regression from, like, one year to the next. And you would have to think that's coming for Tom Brady if he sticks around. And I think he knows it, too.
Bruce Arians, after the game, said, talking about no timetable for a discussion with Brady about his future. So that's totally up to Tom. But it is noted that the Bucs don't have a viable successor to Brady. They don't have
They have Kyle Trask. I love Kyle Trask.
But, yeah, I mean, really, Brady, it might be time to ride out. I feel like he probably wanted to ride out as a winner as many times as he's won in his career. But, you know, you ride on top. What else is there really left for him to do? I mean, to be honest, what else is there left for him to do?
Go enjoy retirement, play some golf, and then
be an analyst.
Be an analyst, or if you want, go coach a high school.
I think he'd be a pretty good analyst. I think he would.
He probably would, because he's actually likable when you hear him talk stuff like that.
Good voice. You know, like, I feel like he could do that. So, yeah, I mean, in the end, though, it was what we talked about. No weapons. No Chris Godwin. Antonio Brown. No Rashad Perriman.
Did you see Antonio Brown's tweet?
No.
He put out a tweet of the picture of him leaving the field, holding up a sign saying, Bucks eliminated.
Oh, man. Just piling it on, AB. Just piling it on. But yeah, another great game. And then we fast forward, go back another day, and the nightcap of the Packers and the 49ers on Saturday. From a Packers fan standpoint, that was tough, man. It was a tough way to lose. The defense, I don't believe – it's been a long time, and I'm not trying to, I guess, exaggerate too much, but maybe like since days when they had Charles Woodson on the defense or even back when Reggie White was on the defensive line, had I seen a Packers defense just play lights out like they did. I mean, Rashawn Gary, I never thought he was going to pan out. Like, he's turned into be a great player for the Packers. You know, the big-time Michigan recruit that didn't really do much at Michigan, but he's found his own in the NFL.
I remember watching his high school recruitment, too. He was, like, the number one player in the country.
He was a beast. That was Harbaugh's, like, first ever big commitment that he got when he got to Michigan. He was great. The defense, I mean, lights out. You don't give up a touchdown, offensive touchdown, the entirety of the game. Packers in a prime position to win that game. They did struggle offensively. The defenses for both teams were great. I mean, after besides that first drive, and you think if you're a Packer fan, score the first touchdown so quick, oh, it's the easy onslaught. You're going to score offense. Didn't see another touchdown the rest of the game after that. And then with 4.5 minutes to go, a blocked punt by San Francisco that the ball, nobody knew where it was at. They picked it up and score, and that was the game. I mean, they tied the game up. Packers still couldn't get anything going on offense. The 49ers get the ball back, able to drive down the field, run the clock out, and kick the field goal. And a number one seed in the NFC, number one seed in all the NFL, wasted. And the future of Aaron Rodgers. Don't know what's going to happen there with the Packers. Don't know what's happened with a lot of their personnel. But that was a tough one. What'd you guys think about that game? You probably didn't watch it, I'm guessing.
I was driving home.
You were driving back from
Nashville. I didn't watch it either.
Yeah.
Partly because I was still mad about the Titans, yeah. But more so because I'm a UFC guy. UFC yeah. Pay-per-view was on.
That was a big one.
I watched the UFC pay-per-view.
From what I could tell going back and look at it, though, looked like the 49ers were just able to double-team Devontae. None of the wide receivers for Green Bay really did a good job.
No, they
taking
didn't.
Advantage
separation.
Of that. So it was just
something else that baffled me was
the 49ers defensive line and just checking down Aaron Jones all night.
Did the snow affect the second half at all? Because I went back and watched the highlights yesterday.
Not really. I thought that, all right, so like Charlie said, the defensive line, Nick Bosa, he was in Aaron Rodgers' face, you know, the entirety of the night. He was having to escape blitzes. He still did decently the way the defense played, 20-29, 225 yards, but he didn't have a touchdown. So you can't be – you got to go out there and get a touchdown for your team in some form or fashion. You got the one touchdown the entirety of the game by A.J. Dillon that came first. I thought that the Packers should have went a little bit more back to the run game. I thought that A.J. Dillon ran the ball hard and didn't get enough touches, so I was disappointed in that. Aaron Jones out of the backfield was great. Pass catching, and he's been great. He had 9 catches, 129 yards. One of them was a big one, though, for about 60 yards. And then Adams, I mean, he still had 9 catches for 90 yards, but you're right. They hit him with the double team on every play. They were over the top on Devontae Adams, and it was still remarkable for him to get away with the 9 catches and almost eclipsing 100 yards as he did. But the rest of the – you got nothing from Randall Cobb, who was, you know, destined to have a big return from injury as he has in the past. You got a catch from Mercedes Lewis, one reception, and then he fumbled it to give the ball to the 49ers in a crucial position. And then Alan Lazard only had 1 catch for 6 yards. So it was a defensive juggernaut battle. And at the end, the 49ers just outlasted the Packers primarily on special teams. I would not be surprised if the Packers special teams coach gets fired this week. It was a blocked field goal, and it was a blocked punt where no protection was there. And then also on the final play of the game, not saying that they would have blocked it, only having 10 men on the field for the game-winning field goal for the 49ers. So I would say his job is pretty much in jeopardy.
I mean, it was a special teams disaster the
it was.
Entire game.
And it has been for most of the year for the Packers. Their special teams has not performed well at all. At all. So that's where a lot of the blame goes there. I had some people ask me after the game, you blame Matt LaFleur. Somebody, like, LaFleur can't. I was like, well, the guy's won 13 games in his first 3 seasons, and I know that's because he has Aaron Rodgers, but I do think he's a very good offensive-minded coach. He's talented, and I don't put a lot of blame on him. I mean, I blame the special teams coach. I blame the fact that the offense couldn't get it going. They just couldn't overcome. It wasn't anything to do with snow. Packers played – that team's played in the snow all the damn time, so you can't use that excuse. It just came up against a good defense. And your defense bailed you out time after time after time again. The Packers defense kept bailing out the offense, and the offense just could not get anything on the board for them. Another heartbreaking loss for Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't know what his future tells. No, after the game he said that he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. They have a lot of guys that they have to re-sign, or I don't know how they're going to do it, but get guys back to make him even think about staying. I mean, they got to see what they're going to do with Devontae Adams. Do you have enough to give him a big contract, or are you going to franchise tag him? Then you have Za'Darius Smith. He's another big personnel. Guys on the offensive line, there's a lot of big decisions for that Packers organization. So we'll see how that plays out, but that was another great game. And that was another game that a walk-off field goal was 3 out of the 4 games over the weekend were all walk-off field goals.
Didn't Robbie Gould miss one earlier in the game, too, from like – closer.
Did he miss one? No, he was perfect.
Oh, was he?
In the game. I didn't think he missed one. Mason Crosby, he obviously got blocked.
Or maybe they're showing it in warm-ups, like he was struggling in warm-ups hitting it from like 45.
But he's a guy, you know, if you were hoping for, as a Packers fan, like, all right, cold weather affects kickers. He played in Chicago for so many years, so he was definitely not affected by the cold. But, hey, that was the other game. We got one more game to talk about from the divisional round, 865-546-8200, if you want to get on and talk about it with us, if you want to expand. Probably save Titans for the first block of the next hour.
I got a question for you for the next segment.
Okay. On the other side, Charlie has a question. He's starting to cheer himself up here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. One more segment. We're going to wrap up hour number one. Sad stuff. It's a sad song. You know, speaking of the weekend, did you guys hear a lot of people? I'm in a lot of different like sports group, betting groups and stuff too. So many people want to say the NFL's rigged. You hear that a lot?
I hear it a lot.
Well, there have been players that have even like said stuff before.
There are certain plays that make you think, like a Pro Bowl kicker not being able to have the leg to make a 45-yarder. Like
I don't think I've ever seen a kicker miss from 47 yards in the NFL in perfect conditions.
Well,
short though.
Well,
like, yeah, I understand
you miss, but not short.
Yeah, yeah, like come up short.
Yeah. Here's another one that's circling around. People are trying to speculation station and put on their conspiracy theory goggles. But in the three games from the divisional round that ended on walk-off field goals, you know how much time was remaining?
4 seconds.
In each game.
Yeah.
There was four. But
that's also because that's usually when coaches call timeouts.
I didn't say, but yeah, a lot of people are like, yeah. Because they know when you kick a field goal, if you call a timeout 4 to 3 seconds, there's not going to be any time after the field goal. Yeah. Snap and kick, time's going to be expired. But a lot of people are just like trying to, you know, stir it up with that one. The Bengals, Titans, 4 seconds left. The 49ers, Green Bay, 4 seconds. And the Rams and Tampa Bay game, also 4 seconds left. All right, Charlie, you said you had a question for us. We'll save our Titans talk for hour number two as well, because we're going to talk a lot about the Titans. I'm sure you guys got a lot to get off your chest about personnel, about coaching, about the game, et cetera, et cetera. And then we'll get into LSU.
I just mostly just want to cry, honestly.
LSU versus Tennessee as well in the second hour.
If I cry on the air, you don't worry about it. So the Bills game last night, the Chiefs started a drive with 13 seconds, and they got in field goal range and kicked a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they just tackle everyone?
That's what I texted my buddy, who is his dad is a huge Bills fan. I said the same thing. I was like, if you are on the Bills defense, line up in press coverage, just wrap up the receivers.
Yeah, and just take the penalty.
Take the penalty.
Just every play.
Every play.
I mean, it would take what?
Take about four plays.
It'd take maybe three, maybe four plays. You would get an illegal contact penalty.
Mm-hmm.
That would be 5 yards.
And, yeah, about four seconds run off every time.
Yeah, that would give
them
15 to 20 more yards, and then they would have, like, a 75-yard Hail Mary to win.
Or actually, probably each play, 7 seconds would run off the clock, 6 to 7 seconds.
Yeah, well, especially the first time the quarterback's going to be shook. He's not going to, like, he's expecting.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, that is something I saw people talking about. And then at the same time, it's like maybe the NFL, probably somebody evolves and starts doing that when they're in, you know, late-game situations and you're trying to keep somebody and go to overtime.
Well, you've seen it before in the past, too, where, like, on offense or something, they'll tell the offensive line, just hold everybody.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody get to me. I'm going to run off as much time as I can, and then I'll run to the back of the end zone, take a safety or something.
Yeah.
Like, you see people manipulate the rules and take penalties like that all the time.
John Harbaugh has done it a couple times, taking those safeties to win the games. That is something that maybe coaches just get too caught up in the moment, man, and they don't think. I mean, it's easy to think after the fact, oh, we should have done this. Now, we all have to agree there after the fact. Be like, all right, you should have just tackled them and take some penalties. Yeah, after the fact. But I guess, like, in the spirit of the moment, when you're coaching your team, you're just, all right, let's stop them. Let's execute. Let's do the things that we're supposed to do, and let's get to overtime.
If you want to stop them, though, you don't line up in 40-yard deep man prevent defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the first play they ran was just a screen to Tyreek Hill.
Hey, pardon me, Mr. Mahomes. Hey, here's the middle of the field. Yeah. We're just going to, like, we'll let you work with that. I know that you probably wanted to do that. So, you know, here, have fun. We'll give you the middle.
That's basically what happened. I mean, they gave Tyreek, like you said, the middle of the field, 19 yards, and then you get a big catch from Travis Kelce, sets up that field goal, Butker. Yeah, maybe we start to see some teams evolve like that. Good question by Charlie. 865-546-8200. That's the number if you want to get on the G3 Help Me hotlines in the second hour. Hour number two, we're going to talk Vols with the big win at TBA over the LSU Tigers. Talk about how their schedule shapes up this week in SEC play. Getting also to a big non-conference matchup, getting closer to that. And then we will also talk Titans and the Raiders. Joe Shiesty, Joey B, whatever you want to call him, the young statesman able to get to the AFC Championship. So a lot to talk about in hour number two. Keep it locked here. Hour number one's in the books. Hour number two is on deck. This is The Blitz.